The date is January 22, 2001.
Oh, cool.
You made your attraction.
And that was Nell, what was his name?
Jackson.
Nell Jackson? Let's see, he went across Gina Huntsville. So what did you know about Bernard O'Leary?
Well, he was from an old time Alaska family. He was out here with wine money, yeah. What about Canada?
Wasn't he homesteading?
Mm-hmm. When did Bachman's come out?
They were out here, well, it was just about the time the war ended in 47 or 6. They had that chicken farm.
Mm-hmm. Maddie talked about that.
Uh-huh. And they put hay up in that. Put chicken wire on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And then they put
Colleen,
hay up there for,
I guess you better lift up just a bit. Okay. Then.
Ah.
Oh, I was trying to remember old man Betchert that lived out there.
Just the name. Yeah, I don't think we ever met him.
There wasn't no road on George Road.
Right.
It was just a trail through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to walk over there bird hunting, and his place was just across Nordale Road where Severns Road.
Right.
And it was on that, and he had all kinds of shrubs and stuff that he brought in, and he had he started raising this wheat. Siberian wheat,
mm-hmm.
And he gave Carl some seeds, and that's when Carl bought his threshing machine to harvest it.
Where was he from?
He was from
Germany.
Oh,
so did he die out here, or he went to town? I mean, what happened to him?
No, I never did know. I think he died while he died.
What was his last name?
Thatcher. Well, that's this is a different name, but this is a place I was thinking of.
No, he was out here.
Oh, he was farther
out.
Oh, I've heard that name.
See, I don't know where Nordale Road would be here.
Well, it would be.
It hadn't been built yet.
Yeah, but it would. See, here's Henry Brockman.
It would
and it
be
comes
on the
up right along his. And across us,
mm-hmm.
Not across us quite, let's see. Came.
No,
it just misses
out,
us.
He was out this way, mm-hmm. Now, to see George Road, it would be about.
Well, it would be right
here.
Here.
You know, he lived out here in Nordale Road. Now, I don't know what this is. This is a little Chena?
It must be a little Chena.
He didn't live that far. Mm-hmm. He lived out here.
Here's Ackerman's, if that helps any, and Charles May.
Oh, that's Pete May's dad. This is 10 Mile. This is out where we were living, right here.
Oh, yeah.
Because his homestead border.
Huh?
He just lived, and he didn't live this far either. He must have been in here somewhere.
Nell's Jackson.
No, Bob Street's place.
Well, that's not the place he has now. That can't be. And you know his.
He's up on the mountain here.
Yeah, he's over here someplace.
Yeah, that's where Dr. Thurman. No. Which doctor?
Let's see.
Yeah, Dr. Thurman. He's there. Skin doctor.
Oh, here now.
He's up on that hill there. He bought it from Bob Strait.
Okay. I didn't know that. See, here's Charlie Ward's place. That's one, if we remember where it is, it kind of helps me at least, because this must be where Jim Day's place was. It's right in here.
Yeah, I think Keith Clark and
Phil's. Where they are now.
They were just past his corner.
Mm-hmm.
There's.
Well, Clark,
yeah,
was
that?
This has got to be a different Clark.
Yeah.
This is Murray Clark.
Oh.
Yeah,
because, of course, they weren't around. Those kids weren't around in 53.
This one's Jim Day's place. He built that house.
Yeah. Well, here's the road down here, so their place would be here, and I don't know how much property they had.
Uh-huh.
You almost need to write in a different color where people are now or something in order to keep yourself oriented and maybe put it in Nordale Road, because it's awful hard to keep track. Look at here, James Lundquist.
Mm-hmm.
Lundquist.
That's the one where
Funk bought that, right?
Yeah.
Must have been here still quick.
He bought this piece. He sold his over here.
Oh, there's Harry Denton. Remember Harry Denton?
Oh, yeah. Well, his homestead was way out here someplace, the original.
Oh, and then he moved in.
He lived in a cabin up there. And then he got this 5-acre piece or something here, and just before he disappeared or died or whatever it was, he gave it to the university, or Carl talked him into it.
What do you remember about him? I just remember he was kind of a scary guy.
Yeah.
Who was this?
Harry Denton?
Down on the creek. This would be probably right down on the creek by the highway.
Yeah, Harold stopped south one time to get him a load of kindling, you know, where he stole. And it was kind of dark, and he walked up to the house, and pretty soon something poked him in the back. And here Harry Denton was with a gun. He said, "You SOB, what are you doing here?"
No, it's scary.
A little paranoid.
Well, wasn't he kind of blind? Did you tell me once he was sort of blind and he couldn't see people very well?
Yeah, he was looking pretty blind, I think. He went by sound, I guess, or something. Anyway, Everett Lindstrom, when the creek was flooded down there one time, he was coming home from work, and he got across the creek somehow or another, and boy, old Harry Denton started shooting up there under the brush.
Through the brush from his cabin?
Yeah, and shooting at Everett, and boy, Everett just...
Oh, no.
Just ran.
Yeah, I would. Oh, man, that's scary. Wow, what a character.
There were several characters out here. I was one of them.
Some of these people are a pretty good shot at a moving target.
Yeah, maybe the best thing to do is stand still.
So when did you homestead out here?
I homesteaded in 1943.
43?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But I got in the Army when I was... They drafted me when I was 19, and I was out at Ladd Field there, and anyway, Bob Bartlett got a rule through that if you was old enough to go in the Army, you didn't have to wait until you was 21, so I went right down to the home. I didn't have to do anything with it until I got out of the Army.
Huh.
And then after I got out of the Army, he got another rule through that said, all I had to do was live on 7 months, and before that you had to clear 20 acres or something. Right.
So you didn't even have to clear any acreage?
No, but I went ahead and cleared more than, I cleared about 30, I guess, altogether.
Well, was that rule just for the soldiers, that you had to live on it 7 months?
No, that was for...
Everybody?
Everybody that homestead, I guess, had that rule, but soldiers got excused.
Oh, that's great. Oh, see, I thought you had to have like 20 acres cleared in order to prove
that. That has 10% cleared of whatever you
want. Yeah.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
You want to sit down, Dad?
Yeah. If you,
would it be more comfortable?
I don't know. That's kind of fun looking at this map.
Yeah.
Well, when did Carl homestead then?
He didn't homestead until he got out of the Army in 46.
Yeah, well, I assume he was one of the first ones, but you beat him.
Were you the first of all the boys?
Oh, yeah.
You were before Harold, even.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Harold was around 1950, wasn't it? Before.
Something like that, yeah.
What about Walter? When did he come out?
He came out after the war, too, like how Carl did. But I'm also sorry they done away with that homestead law for these young kids, you know. They give them something to work for and stuff.
That's true. That's true.
And they modified it.
The thing I had against the Homestead Act was... They didn't give you enough land for you to earn a living on. Mm-hmm. When they changed the act and you could get 300 acres, then you were approaching.
You could have a real farm.
You had to be careful what 300 you tried to claim because you had to get usable land.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to go like that. They wanted
solid piece.
Well, they wanted square corners.
Well, Ben Funk is the one that told me about this area, you know.
Originally?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He just homesteaded over there where Bryce's are now, you know.
Oh,
And anyway, he says, you have to go out there and get a homestead. And I said, well, he told me how to get there and everything. So I went to his place, and then I hiked across the creek and up that ridge where our homestead is, you know. And that was open. The only person that was out there before that was old Harry, Bennett, old man Bennett, and Dr. Fitz over there where the field is, you know.
Fitz is on this someplace. Let's see, here's Steel Creek.
Charles Fabian.
That's
Charles. Here's simple stipple and fits mm-hmm. there.
So that would be on Steel Creek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's Steel Creek right here. I thought he was above the road.
There he is. He has had a piece of
Well, that's Stemple. Mm-hmm. That's Bert Stemple, though.
Mm-hmm. And this is Kay Stemple,
and here's Fitz here. Fitz was a university professor, wasn't he? Or
he was
an agronomist or something?
He was a Presbyterian minister. And
he'd
been over in China and everything as a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And he was already in full swing when I came out.
How old were you when Funk told you about homestay?
I was 18.
Mm.
I just come up.
Oh, well, did you know Frank Pratt? Is it? This says here Frassler, but I always thought it was Fessler.
I know I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, this could this could be a mistake. Did you know him?
Yeah, but I can't remember now.
This would be Amanita. Let's see, Jerusalem. Yeah, Here's Herning Road and the highway, and this would be Amanita.
Yeah.
So he was back in there.
Oh, yeah. I remember half a mile. Almost what he looked like. He was kind of a slender little guy, you know.
Was he the one that was crippled, somewhat crippled?
I can't remember what it was about him.
We never met him. He was still here when we came out, but I don't remember ever meeting him.
I remember just heard the name. Him. What did he do? Do you remember anything about what he did, or...?
I remember Harold being pretty good, but Harold had a way to get around. I didn't know many.
What do you know about Mr. Kruger?
Well, the last we heard, he sold out and went to Hawaii.
Oh, well, that does sound familiar.
But anyway, a couple of kids and I went up there after he left, and his house was all vacant, and the door was standing open and everything. And he'd been cooking on this little two-burner camp stove.
Coleman stove type?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it was just grease in the bottom of that stove was about that big.
And the counters were just covered with it.
Oh, was you with me that time?
I don't think I was with you. Bruce and I, one summer, he and I and Mark Funk or something went in there, and I mean, it was gross squalor.
Yeah. What was this, a one-room cabin?
Yeah.
A little place?
It was just sort of like our original cabin, just one room.
Well, what did you know about Kruger? What was he like?
Well, the only thing I remember about him was he was a kind of a moocher. And Carl's gas, he'd have a gas barrel out there with kerosene mm-hmm. coming in, and it kept going down and down. And once in a while, Kruger would come by and say, I'd like to buy a gallon of kerosene or something. Carl never did tell him all that. He already had the 40 gallons. Well, anyway, he'd always come at mealtime up there when he lived in that homestead cabin. And Colleen was just a little kid then, and she'd go up and look up at him and put her hand on his knee, and he'd just push her away like he didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Afraid of these ankle biters.
Yeah.
But that was kind of fun when they started building this road out here. Henry Brockman had put some logs across Steel Creek so you could drive across, mm-hmm. but it was just through the swamp up there, you know, and the only part of the year you could ever drive. But anyway, first thing they did, they came out and they built, the road had kind of went up to the top of the hill there where the children's home was, just a dirt road mm-hmm. and that. And then their first deal, they went down to the creek down there. And
the road department did?
Yeah.
Somebody drove by there.
And anyway, boy, that was nice, you know, to be able to drive. And then they extended it down to the bottom of Kruger's Hill there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one another year, and it took a year or so in between each time.
Do you know about when that was?
Well, it was about 49, I guess.
Okay. We've asked several people when this road was put in, because didn't people come out by way of Steel Creek first?
Yeah, that's where we all said that.
Yeah.
And everybody hated that hill going up there, oh boy.
Oh, yeah. So at the time this extension from the children's home happened, was Chain Hot Springs on end still not there?
No, we still came.
Oh.
We came that way for years.
Yeah.
And the Army built that Nike site mm-hmm. over there, and then they extended the road over to the Nike site, and then and they, this road had already went on by it, mm-hmm. Cooter's Hill, and started down that other way, you know.
Hmm.
Anyway, we just followed that road out until we got to the Tuna River, and then we followed it all the way up there fishing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get some good fishing.
So every summer they were putting a little bit more onto it.
It seemed awful slow, but we threw it off.
This was a road. There was an old trail there, and it was improved,
It was an old wood road.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have to create a new right-of-way, they just followed the old trail.
No, they didn't ask me but for a right-of-way until they started improving, you know, mm-hmm. And then they come by and wanted to extend it to 100 feet or something. It was 66 because it was on a township. And so I was glad to sign because I wanted the road, but they took 6 acres, and they only gave me $70 for it.
What? You paid for your road, I guess.
Big time.
I never did argue with them because I was so glad that Dorothy used to come down the hill there with the three or four little kids, and she'd go in town to horse. We didn't have a wall yet, you know, and she'd slip and fall in the mud, and she'd just sit down and cry right in the middle of the road.
Was that in our driveway?
Yeah.
Our road up the hill?
Yeah.
We know Maddie talked about that same hill. That was the bane of her existence, trying to get into work every day.
Oh, yeah.
Going up that.
Oh, the hill from hill. Steel Creek to
the
top.
It didn't go in on Hagelberg up there. It went in down before you went up the grade, you know, to go over the top. It went in. You can see the old road wandering uphill, and it just went up almost straight. And Ralph Adcock, he homesteaded over there by Fitz's. In fact, he married the Fitz girl.
Okay, here's Fitz. There's Holmes, where Gettinger is now, George Love.
That's at the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was over in here someplace. I don't even see his name.
Jennings.
Maybe he didn't homestead. Maybe he just bought that from somebody.
Well, some of these, I'm sure, were just purchased, but this is what it was in 53. And so 52, it could have been different, and 54, it could have been different.
Yeah. He married Dr. Fitz's red-headed daughter.
Hmm. What was his name again? Who was this?
Adcock.
I've seen that name here someplace, I bet you. But there's a lot of names to find.
Yeah, I've never heard that one name before.
Nope. I don't see it there. If he homesteaded or bought it someplace else on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Carl got him a job out there at Pan American where I was working. And Carl was out there for a while.
Yeah.
And anyway, Hancock used to say, I wish I had an atomic bomb and I'd blast that hill away so I didn't have to. Every day you'd have to stop and put on your chain.
Well, I'm confused. Are you talking about the hill from Steel Creek up to the top where the children's home was?
No, from Steve's Highway up to the top.
Up to?
On Steel Creek.
You mean if you went on what is Steel Creek Road right now from the...
You'd come out up by
Hagelberger.
By Hagelberger.
Right.
Before it used to turn and go down. You know, it used to go down that road where the fire station
was. Oh, yes. I remember that.
You used to go down there and wind down that hill.
That hill.
Was coming off of the Steese that he was going to blast.
Some civilian uses of the atomic bomb.
Right. That the old road should show. Okay, here's Steel Creek. And here is...
There's Birch Hill here. Here's the Steese.
Okay, here's Steel Creek's coming in. So it was this hill right here.
Yeah, because here's the Steese going on that one. Oh.
Yeah, now that comes in up here someplace. I don't know where Hagelberger would be. Again, we need to have an overlay.
Yeah.
Showing where things are now.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really
Well, you're the person that could probably...
graphic artist.
Well, I was thinking of the records available at the Dot Puff.
Oh, yeah.
They ought to have something.
Yeah.
Have to be the same scale. That might be a bit of a problem. But it could be done.
That's a really good idea.
George Fry. He's the one that at Homestead, and there were his Homestead was the one my mother filed on.
Originally?
No. He's up on top of it. He's right up on top of the mountain.
Well, look at that. Here he is again, too. He's got two different pieces
of
property.
Oh, here's George Fried Jr.
Oh, right above you, was he?
Oh. So is that Louis Burdome ended up with?
Well,
George Fried?
He just took the lower part. He didn't take that top of the hill.
Oh,
anyway,
so this is Louis
Burdome. He had a dugout cabin up there. He
dug into the side of the hill?
Logs across and stuff. He was a young GI.
So,
but he didn't stay long.
But then he must have sold it to Louis Burdome.
No.
Because isn't that Louis Burdome was bordering your northern edge, right?
Yeah, his property came down to right down to here. He had his homestead in here.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles Rydell, she filed on that piece that my mother filed on. Is it where the spring come out here?
Oh.
And then Carl sold him that 40. Joe Kruger owed Carl a bunch of money, so he sold him a 40-acre piece here for $1,000.
So that would be this 40-acre here?
I guess so, yeah. And then, it adjoined Kruger's here. Maybe it was this 40 acres of Kruger's right here. And then Rifle Road went right up there.
Now it does. Well, what do you remember about Eleanor Rydell? When she was around and when she fought.
Well, they came. See, they didn't have no right of way through here because it was not a section line or nothing, you know. And so I gave him permission to use this line right here. And then there was 40 acres back here that belonged to the state, and I leased that. So I gave him this 30 feet all the way up this side, something like that. And they built their house right here. Right here, I guess. No, they built their house on... Anyway, Joe Kruger owed Carl some money. So he took 40 acres there from him. Mm-hmm. Gave him 40 acres someplace in there. And then he sold it to Charlie Rydell for $1,000. And they built on that 40 acres. Maybe it was this one. They built on that, and she gave this land to the Bird Society.
Yeah.
Society.
What about when she first filed on it, though? She was a soldier, right?
Yeah.
A WAC
or is that right? I never heard that.
She was out to Lab Field out there, and she went out and bought one of those jeeps from the surplus right after the war there. She came to me saying, "Your name's right up the ceiling of this jeep. There's one of these follow me jeeps." I used to go out and wave the airplanes have a drink of light and stuff, you know. And I was waiting for a plane, and then I just reached up and wrote my name.
That's what she bought.
So did she do, she didn't have to do any proving up either?
No, she was under the GI.
Same as you
had,
then.
She built that little shack hole there, and that was it. She never carried any lantern. But anyway, then when I ran that piece from the state, it started out, I was paying $16 a year to lease that 40 acres, because that's where I had a wood permit to build the cabin off the lawns, and I never did use it.
Oh, you could have logged it all.
Who wanted to lease this?
Pardon?
Who wanted to lease that?
I leased it from the state.
Oh, from the state?
Yeah,
oh.
I went to one of those auctions one time.
Yeah, I had it reversed. I thought that. Okay.
And, anyway, then I asked her if she'd give me an easement across her place here over to that 40 acres.
Okay, this would have been here.
It'd be right in here. I had this piece, I guess it was. And she wouldn't do it. She said, no, I don't want anybody over there at all. And I even got a guy coming, he rolled over the road on over, right over to it there, you know.
Well, people are odd sometimes, aren't they?
But when the army came out there, and when they built that road to their site.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mess. They had this great big trailer mounted guns, you know. Big guns, you know.
Yeah.
Holes in them, that big round.
You mean to the site on Esro Road or that other one,
no.
Henry Gettinger's?
The one where the old army site was down there on Henry Bot.
Just the side of
where all those
Lindig's
bunkers are.
Place,
yeah.
On the corner there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And those big old trucks even go up that hill by where our school made them get off the road, and there was always in a ditch.
Yeah. That was when they were first setting the site up.
They were up for a couple, several years, I guess, and then they pulled out. And again, they bought it. He's got more land, he knows what to do with it.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm thinking of a different place. Yeah, I know.
You know where those.
Now.
I mean, people, we used to go
yeah.
out and pick raspberries there
mm-hmm.
after a while.
Well, I was thinking of the road that now goes off over into, I guess it's ammunition storage or something that's
on Birch Hill.
Yeah,
well,
goes
that,
into the back side of Birch Hill.
That road there, the Army built it over to the new Tuna Hopkins Road.
Yeah.
And then Dr.
Lindig.
Lindig, he boarded his place.
Yeah.
So, people used to go up there and pick raspberries and snow machining and stuff. And he dropped it off. He wouldn't let nobody use it. But it went clear over to the Birch Hill.
Right. Well, that's the road I was thinking of. I'd forgotten all about the gun site out there.
It's part of Henry's place now.
There's John Holmes. PLO is what? Public Land Office, Al?
PLO?
Yeah.
Public Land Order.
Order. What does that tell you? What does that mean?
Palestinian Liberation.
Reserved for somebody.
Okay, well, isn't that about where that gun site would be? See,
here's
Gettinger's place now.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, maybe so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's.
We're going to have to put some.
The federal government claimed land for their own use.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote a PLO.
Okay. Oh, okay, that was the site.
Yeah.
But when it was active, did you have any,
Oh, they'd have firings over there and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But they built all these little.
Those were anti-aircraft batteries.
Yeah.
They shot at airplanes. They didn't shoot at tanks.
Oh, okay. So those guns that they put in those.
Well, they had a military operation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they had their own rifles and stuff. I don't remember what they did. But, somebody came and wanted to buy that land from Gettinger and put a golf course in there.
That was a couple of years
mm-hmm.
ago.
And so they, the ones that offered to buy it wanted him to give them some kind of a paper showing that they weren't responsible if something blew up under there. See, so he didn't want it. Couldn't do that, so he had to.
So that's why it fell through.
Oh, that is so interesting.
They started building a road in there, I remember. There was road work
going
on. Oh,
that's so interesting. There isn't too many golf course sites where you'd hit a landmine and you're like blown off while you're at the 50 or something.
Hand grenade or what?
No kidding.
No, you wouldn't know. This is sure an interesting map.
Yeah, I need to.
You know any of these other people? Tilford, England, R.S. Johnson, that's up on.
George Love, he's up there where the children's home.
Yeah, where Love Road is now.
Yeah.
And Yoder was that same general area.
Yeah. Edmund Davis, he was. He was right over there, too.
Looks like he's on the side of the hill there.
He owned that girl down to where Henry, where
mm-hmm.
the cliff was.
Well, Pete Aiken was on the. I wonder if he wasn't also a young GI.
Maybe. Because he never really had a very big field, it doesn't seem like.
Well,
what do you remember about Pete Aiken when he came out here, Dad?
Well, Harold was always hiring him in his business. And then when I was out the base, they made me a foreman out there for in the construction. I mean, where I worked.
When you were in the Army, you mean?
No.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. And he came to work out there, and he was on my crew.
Pete Aiken was?
Yeah, well, he's a carpenter, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what I remember.
But boy, his family sure had a lot of trouble.
Oh, poor folks, yeah, they have indeed.
But what do you remember about when he first came and homesteaded? Did you have any contact with him, or was there any... Did anybody have any feelings about him being in the neighborhood?
No,
oh, that's good. Yeah,
good for us. What other names are there that ring some bells?
Let's see. Who's this Philip McCann?
I don't know him.
Charles Kibbelin, that's that house.
Oh, yeah. Kibbelin's still there.